I believe it's September. What it is. And thank everyone for being here. The time of year, I just left my library budget meeting, so the time of year is upon us. So before we leave here this evening, we'd like to set up our meeting for October for the budget. Ray, what do we have as far as presentation in our normal meeting? I know you had the dates.
Yeah, so October 2nd is the first Monday, so that'll be our regular meeting. Then the budget gets presented to the board the night of October 3rd.
Right.
And then we'll have options of the 9th or the 16th, having it on a Monday night. The Finance Committee starts their deliberations on the 23rd. So the 9th or the 16th would be the nights to consider for us having. One would give us 1 week, give the committee 1 week to look at stuff. The other would give the committee 2 weeks to look at stuff. So
those are the two options that we would prefer for it to be a Monday. And as Ray said, if you'd like more time to look at the budget, we can do it on the 16th. The Finance Committee starts on the 23rd. Or we can do it the 9th, either one. So we get a consensus here now of what we would like to see.
Both days work for me.
What day is that? Monday, Tuesday?
Monday.
Both are not Mondays?
Could on this day.
And for the 9th?
9th.
I will make it a Monday.
Nothing that makes a difference to me, but the 9th is Columbus Day. Is everybody working on Columbus Day?
Absolutely. This is not Chicago, Supervisor.
I'm sure Columbus
has it off. I'm okay for it.
Well, let's do the 9th.
9th it is.
Same time, 6:30.
Yeah.
We'll do it in the big hearing room.
Right. Because Jim wants to have a huge presentation for us that evening. Videos and food and everything. They didn't have food at the library one just now. I just wanted to bring up. Another very successful event held this past weekend at Old Settlers Park. The largest turnout ever at the Oktoberfest. The Parks guys, I know they were out there last week setting up tents, and there was a lot of work in there, and did a lot of work. Another horribly successful event for the our park system here. So it's one after another after another. Very, very happy. That's all I have this evening. Any other supervisors before we get started? If not, I'll ask for approval of the minutes from the previous meeting that everyone has had a chance to.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Wendell, seconded by Supervisor Gilmore to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. All those in favor, you the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. I forgot roll call, but we're all here. Including both of you the government. So, next we move on to citizens' comments. Anybody that would like to address the committee? Mr. Pitts.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I came out here to comment on this beautiful, wonderful 90th anniversary at Pitts. I can't tell you how happy that I witnessed thousands of people that came out for that day. I spent half a day at Pitts, and I talked to a lot of people. And they all said to me, Bob, this is the most wonderful thing that Kenosha County ever did. And I just want this committee to know that a lot of people appreciate what happened. You have to give Matt and the superintendent and everybody involved in doing such a great job organizing and providing a wonderful day for kids and the grown-ups. And I can't tell you that if Dick Lindell was alive, he'd be so happy because his goal was always opening up that, those parks for the people. And Matt, I have to say, he did a hell of a job opening up those parks. And I just want everybody to know that. Citizens appreciate that. And maybe some way or another, maybe we can do this in maybe a smaller scale. Do something special. Maybe once a year or something like that, just to kind of open it up again. But I just want the committee to know that you have a wonderful, wonderful staff that will put this thing together like this. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before you.
Thanks for coming out, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Any other citizens wish to speak? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to division reports, and Frank Marvelli is first this evening. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, I have another appointment, so I don't want to snub this committee.
Okay. Take care.
Mr. Chairman, facilities division reports, fire alarm system replacement at the courthouse. We've got a couple punch list items remaining with Simplex, and we're holding over $70,000 of the contract until they come and do those items, and some of them are pretty intricate in nature, dealing with some of the programming and stuff. So they've been tough to nail down for scheduling. Like I said, I'm pulling $70,000 over their head out of the original $200,000, but we're reluctant to bring anybody else in to do that kind of intricate nature of the work. So like I said, I'm holding the money over their head until they come and finish it. But it's completely operational, signed off by the city fire department, so we're okay on that side. No other questions. Public safety building generator replacement. Have it all installed. We did load testing on August 22nd, and the next day they started up for some other performance testing, and the low voltage controls on the generator failed. They brought in a third party to do a root cause analysis of what happened, because we want to be sure we find out what the root cause was. We don't want to just replace the components and then have it fail on Christmas Eve when we lose power or something. So we're awaiting that report from them. We should have it beginning of this week. In the meantime, there's a backup generator there, so if there's ever a problem, take care of it. No other questions? Public safety building addition, second floor, along with the fleet maintenance building. Fleet maintenance building achieved the milestone of installing all the structural steel, roof trusses, and roof decking. We're just buttoning up the roof today. They should have that taken care of. We had to do some additional masonry work on the north side of the building just to make sure that was buttoned up. We expect to be pouring the floor in September here, inside. It's really come a long way in a short period of time. We revised the schedule because of some all the rain we had and a couple construction issues for mid to late November for completing the fleet maintenance building. The work continues on the build out of the second floor of the public safety building. Activities include HVAC, related mechanical infrastructure, plumbing, wall framing. Overall, the project remains on schedule overall and very close to budget so far. If no other questions, go on to the courtroom branch 4 remodel. The pre-construction planning continues, some tweaks to the updating of the audiovisual system in there, prepping it for the future now that we're going to have it open and can put in the conduits and wires and stuff like that for the video that they expect to be using more and more. And we're still planning on a mid-October start.
So that Jensen trial change hasn't changed any of that?
No, because all the contractors and all the lead times and everything, we're all set up. We called and asked, and we just couldn't get that stuff moved forward.
But we're fine.
We're fine. We're fine. Courts are very happy that we're getting it done.
Well, those are all major projects that we've been working on for a while. It's amazing that a couple tweaks, like the getting that contractor back in, that's a third of the money. That's, I can have been in business for 40-some years.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, you don't make 30%. So
right.
That's amazing that they're sitting out there with $70,000 and you're having trouble getting them in.
We're thinking somebody in accounting's eventually going to come up on the radar, and then they're going to put some heat on the operations side to get folks in, but...
I would think so.
Because it's been, we're holding the money for months now.
Wire shot money.
Yeah.
And that generator thing, too, that's
how
wild could it be?
Fascinating in some ways. Disappointing, but fascinating.
Right. But, I mean, I really am happy that you're doing this analysis, because your first instinct, naturally, if you're on a job site, you just go get another part and get in it. And I'm sure that they would do that, but we have to figure out the root cause.
What's so odd about it is because 2 days prior, they did all the load testing, all the performance testing, everything ran flawlessly. They just went to routine, started up 2 days later, and all the low voltage controls went out. And the one tech, I think Frank said, had been doing it for 30 years, and he's never seen anything like it.
There's no holes in there, is there?
Not that we know of. So, yeah, we're being cautious.
Any questions for Frank? Thank you, Frank. Next, we will move on to Highways Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In front of you, you have a resolution to approve the appointment of Lieutenant Bill Berth to the County Traffic Safety Commission. He'll be replacing Thomas Gelly, who left the patrol division, and so he's no more in the role to perform that task. And so we have Bill with us here today, and I don't want to bore you by going through this glossy resume. We are asking the committee to approve his appointment.
Does the anybody on the committee have any questions?
Just one background question, not specifically to you, but just in general. What kind of time commitment does this incur upon the acceptee? How many times do they meet?
I'm going to defer to Clint.
We usually meet once the quarterly a year.
Okay.
Sometimes as needed, we might come, but it's a very important committee because we talk about the general safety of the public within Kenosha County and sometimes the state at large. And I must say that committee is very instrumental in guiding me to see where we have some trouble spot as far as traffic is concerned, which I might not otherwise would have noticed. And the other thing is that you'll be amazed how talented some of the members are, even though they are not traffic engineers, but they are so knowledgeable, and they provide very cost-effective solutions which wouldn't have otherwise come across if I wasn't part of that committee. So it's they do some of the most important things they do, the traffic analysis, crash data, and the trend in the county and in the state, and so it helps guide us where we should pay attention to as far as traffic engineering is concerned within the county.
Very well.
Any other questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, second by Supervisor Gilmore to approve Lieutenant Bill Best. That's the Traffic Safety Committee. Any questions? If not, you're the governors?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you for coming out, sir.
Thank you. You're coming.
I'll go to the divisional reports. The county workforce has completed repairs on all damages caused by the flooding. The division has also been receiving appreciative feedbacks from within the county and from other local municipalities. In front of you also is one of the letter of appreciation from the town of Wheatland. We just thought that we should show a sample. We have some of them by emails. I didn't want to print all of them, but I just thought I should just give that one because that was coming from a local municipality. The division is currently engaged with normal maintenance operations and the paving program. The workforce is currently paving County Trunk Highway B. It's scheduled to be completed this week. Pavement marking is scheduled by the end of this week. I just want to make it's worth noting here that sometimes this report will generally be outdated because some of the information I'm reporting here is already taken place because they were written last week. So I'll be adjusting the information as I go along. County Trunk Highway S project, the county, the city, and BOA are making strides towards a resolution to resolve the issue at the right of way at the intersection. We jointly compiled an RPZ analysis, which is a requirement for us to get the environmental document reviewed by FHWA. We have submitted that RPZ analysis to FAA, and we are just waiting for their feedback. Report on other projects, County Trunk Highway H and Bain Station, major grading and common excavation work started this week while utility relocations continues. The project is 2 weeks behind schedule due to utility relocation. The contractor is hopeful to substantially complete the project by the end of October if the favorable weather continues. County Trunk Highway E bridge, the work has been completed and the bridge is open to traffic. County Trunk Highway W, asphalt paving is all completed. Pavement marking is scheduled for the end of this week, and hopefully by Monday the work will be substantially completed and we'll be working on punch lists. The fuel tank project is also completed. With the restoration is pending because the restoration is being done by the county crew. However, they've been catching up due to the lost time caused by the flooding. County Trunk Highway JF from 259th Avenue to Highway 83. The resurfacing project is scheduled to start tomorrow, and hopefully by the end of this month, it will be open for traffic. Then State Trunk Highway 45 in Bristol, the project management team claims that they've caught up with the schedule. They've paved south of C, and I think this week they are paving north of C asphalt while the concrete work is going on between 89th Street and Highway 50. And if everything works well, they'll be completing their project by the end of this month, but then again, it all depends on the weather. That's all I have for this report. There were two other projects which I didn't have time to put on the agenda. And that is the bike trail project, the Pike bike trail project. We beat them on the 24th. The project was bid on the 24th of August. There were two bidders, Genke General and Zinatec. Zinatec was the apparent low bidder. And the second one is the County Trunk Highway KR Brick Bed Bridge over the Pike. We had three bidders. The apparent low was Concrete Structures, the company that the contractor that is constructing Highway W. It came at $186,081. Those were the two projects I couldn't put into the, on the agenda, but I have them here with me.
Are those fall projects or are they spring projects?
They're all fall projects.
They're all fall projects.
I'm going to try.
We'll try, but we're shooting for all completion this year,
right.
But it might spill over to next year.
The one thing, Clement, I wanted to make sure you pointed out to the committee was that we had gotten a formal resolution from the Salem Lakes Board about that intersection on JF.
Yes.
They requested.
Yes.
We just wanted to make sure the committee is aware of that we got a formal request to study that intersection.
For an always stop sign.
At JF and Rock Lake Road. So you guys are going to do the study?
Yes. We are currently collecting data. And so within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll try to compile the data and see what it leads us to. Hopefully, in the next facility meeting, we'll be able to present what the results are.
Great. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. not related to anything on your list, but has the DOT been in contact with you regarding Highway 158 and H?
No. The person who was the project manager for that project was let go for some reason, and since then I've not had any contact with anybody who took over the project.
I forget the engineering firm that's working with the state.
Dar?
No.
It escapes me. They were at the airport a couple of weeks ago and laid out the plans for that intersection, and they made it sound like it was scheduled to move along the same time as H-142, which I don't think is a really great idea to have both those intersections followed up at the same time.
No.
So I encouraged them to reach out to give you a call and start mapping that out.
Yes, it is in our radar too, that we need to coordinate, because we are aware that we're going in that intersection we reconstructed in 2020. However, because of the challenges we've been having with the H project, they had to extend the sunset date and give us time to resolve all the challenges and at the same time construct it. But the earliest time we could construct it would be in 2020. Now, we did not want to make that move to contact the DOT regarding the project, because we're still not out of the woods yet as far as that challenge is on H and S is concerned. So once we have a definite direction where we are going, then that will be the time that we'll now coordinate with the DOT, because we'll know exactly how the schedule plays out. So we are aware of it. They've not contacted us, but we are aware that we're going to contact them, even if they don't contact us. But we don't want to do it now, because we don't have much to tell them, apart from the fact that we're still trying to make work.
I understand that, but I mean, just so long as they understand that, that it would be a really good idea to coordinate the efforts, because the timing that they're talking about lays out at the exact same time that we're talking about doing 142 and 158. It's not just the intersection, but they're reconstructing both bridges too. So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be a nightmare to have both going at the same time.
We've always known that, and we even discussed it in our last project team meeting. But then again, if we go and tell them, okay, yes, it's going to be this time, and without giving them, any definite schedule is not work. We are waiting for that resolution for that intersection. Then we'll have a definite schedule. Then we can then coordinate it with them.
Okay.
Yes, but it will not be possible for both projects to go at the same time,
right,
because one of the projects is using the other road for the detour route.
Exactly.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we've known it, the DOT has known it all along, that, and that's why they were promoting us to get 142 done, because they want to use 142 for their detour route. So it'll never be done at the same time. It's an impossibility.
I would agree with that.
Anything else for Clement? Yes,
as we look at the end of our construction season approaching, just where are we with our LRIP program? Have we been negatively affected by the weather to a big extent? Comment?
The LRIP program, I don't know which part, which aspect you're talking, because there are two aspects. There's one that we have in the kickoff meeting on Thursday. So if that's one that that's in relationship with the local municipalities, that's a different section. The one that are project related, some of the projects we are doing them. So we are looking at most of the projects that are pending right now. I think the only local road project is actually
I believe what Supervisor Grady's asking is just our overall paving that we're going to do for our local
right.
roads.
Uh-huh.
So not the LRIP, the official program,
official,
but just
the
local paving that we're going to be doing.
Yes,
how much have we got done relative to how much we got left to do?
I would say the two major projects, actually, one major project is have the potential of maybe spilling over. That is Bain Station and H.
No, just the paving. So like you guys did JB already this year?
Uh-huh.
How many miles was JB that you paved?
Oh, JB was about 5.8 miles.
MB, how many miles was that?
MB is about 3.8 miles.
So you've got about 9 miles roughly done. Right now, and what's on tap yet from a paving standpoint that you want to try to get done yet this year?
So we have another 5 miles to go, which we think we can do. Oh, so he's talking about our
paving program, not the local road program.
Right.
Okay.
So the paving program, we have about 5-6 miles to go, and I'm pretty sure that we could do at least 5. So that would put us around 13 miles, which is what we always shoot for.
So, long story short, the inclement weather we had earlier has not really impacted that particular ability of us to pave the roads. Pretty much on schedule.
Well, I would say it impacted it because we took some of the roads off because we wanted
were
to pave
to get
more.
Yeah. We were hoping to blow past the normal 13.
And then the last question, the first point you're talking about, the RPC, mm-hmm. the one to the FAA, how recent was that? When did that happen?
That happened on the 23rd of August. That was when we sent the RPZ analysis to FAA. And they said they would need about 2 to 4 weeks to review.
That's what FAA said?
Yeah, so I would say 1 month. So by the 23rd of this month,
yeah.
Hopefully by then we'd have heard something from FAA.
I think you got it on your calendar because when you and I talked on the 15th, you're going to give them a call and just remind them.
Right.
Because of how it works. So, because they said 3 to 4 weeks, and I said, okay, 3 weeks, let's give them a call.
Very well. That's my comments. Thank you.
Anything else for Clement? If not, thank you very much, Clement. And we'll move on to Mr. Collins and the department.
Thank you, Chairman. First thing we have is a resolution to apply for a DNR Urban Forestry Grant fund the development of a savanna restoration plan, or KD Park. So I'm sure you heard me with the same song and dance that anytime that we apply for a DNR grant, we need a resolution prior to applying for such grant. So the most important thing is the map that should be included on your last page, and that kind of gives an overview of KD Park and the two areas encircled are the Polk Savannah Restoration Project site. So it's our plan to basically move from the eastern side of the park and the restoration process and move westward. I'll be speaking a little bit about our prairie restoration plan, but having a savanna plan would really knock out a substantial area for us on our restoration efforts and getting this park more usable and part of our complete master plan. So we're just seeking approval to apply for this plan.
Any questions?
No, I will move, but I just have no question.
Move by Supervisor Wendell, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any other discussion? If not, you the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. For the division reports, we have great news that we hired an excellence candidate, now park employee Adam Schultz, to work alongside Nick Murphy as part of our succession plan. Nick Murphy has been with the parks for 43 years or so. So he's planning on retiring this coming next year in June. So Adam has the opportunity to work alongside Nick Murphy on all the underground utilities, pavilions, planning projects. As you see, everything that we do, it's great to bring him on board through all four seasons that he's got a full idea of what's going to be his suit and up. So Adam's a great asset. He brings a lot of experience from the Geneva Park District over to our county. So very, very strong in natural resource management, prairie restoration projects, forestry, tree felling, maintenance, operations, you name it, he brought it to the table. So we're extremely excited to bring him to our team. Just some updates on our flood impact. The highest concentration of staff right now is to oversee, reseed Fox River Park. We have about 5 acres of grass dieback. So you can see the pictures of the area that we prepped. And starting next week, we already have a seeding plan to go out and try to take advantage of a good growing season this fall. So the staff has been working diligently just to get the areas to look like they do in those pictures, which took a lot. But now we're in a good shape and a good timeline for the best growing of grasses in fall. So crossing our fingers that that's traditional and we'll be well on our way. The next thing that we have is an update on the Petrifying Springs Park barn demo. If you remember my last updates, we sold the barn for $6. So they have arrived, and piece by piece, they're taking that thing down. They're more hopeful as far as the timeline than I, because if they're going piece by piece, it's going to take some time. But they're optimistic to get it done this fall. So we're going to let them have at her, and I think it's a great message to Kenosha County about our sustainability movement. Instead of either, well, we couldn't burn it because it's so close to the gas pumps, but instead of putting it into a landfill, it's getting to see a new life form. So I'm sure if you go shopping at Crate and Barrel, you'll see some of our barn there.
Yeah.
All right, so next we have, I know that I kind of put a teaser out there with one of our other grants that I took a road trip the day after our committee meeting over to Wausau. And after being there for a couple hours and feeling like we were on Shark Tank, they debated for another 45 minutes to an hour and deemed that they have no state budget yet passed, so they can't award anything for the recreation boating facility grant that we applied for. So there's highlights that they enjoyed from the RBF grant submittal process with KD Park, but we will not hear back from the RBF committee until the governor signs a budget. So they made it sound more optimistic that they would at least be able to award pending the state budget, but they didn't want to go that far just in case something happened where their funding source got cut and then they got to go back and tell people no after saying yes. So more to come. Hopefully we find out later on this one. Prairie restoration project. We were awarded $8,000 to start phase one of our prairie restoration project at KD Park. This is on the eastern side of that parkway if you drive through there. It's meanders down to where the lake edge is. It's about 11.5 acres of restoration. This is, again, part of our master plan. So we've been working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to receive that funding. They help us out alongside our interns with a species list. So just today, we actually killed off that 11.5 acres of grass in order for us to better prepare for a spring drill seeding of the prairie seed mix. So we're killing it off once. We might have to spot treat it again late this fall, early spring. So it'll look kind of unique for a little bit. We're gonna put up signs within the park. We already put out a press release to inform our constituent base of why we did it, because there is a long range plan to restore that section. So it's one of those necessary evils that it'll look uglier before it looks beautiful. So we'll make sure that we continue to update the committee, but it's gonna be a 3-year project in order to make it a true prairie restoration. Next, we just have our past events attendance totals that I've been attaching on there. So again, August was another busy month for us. You can see who all attended. And then I just kind of summarized as far as our total attendees for those 90th anniversary events, just to show the impact of each one of those programs and how many extra people we brought into our parks with those. Next, we have upcoming events, which is actually one old event, was Old Settlers Oktoberfest. So with that, I have some pictures that I can share with you guys, I hope. Yeah. And it was highly successful for that event. If I had to estimate, I would say it was well over 8,000 people. Nick Murphy's been working on operations with that event for the last 7 years. We went outside of the overflow parking in the dog park area. I just heard back from our committee. We have about 30 volunteers that help us put on that event, so it's just not park staff. It's truly to raise proceeds from a not-for-profit group to put out permanent band shell up, and 100% of the proceeds of this event go towards that. And they raised gross $26,000 for that event, so they have a very successful event. We're more than happy to support that. So other things coming out this weekend is we have 3 large events. So don't ask me how we're going to manage them, but we're going to do it. We have a fairly large Wisconsin Mountain Bike Endurance Series and our mountain bike trails. So that's also co-sponsored by our not-for-profit organization, SODA, Southeastern Wisconsin Trail Alliance. We have the pleasure of working with Wilmot Mountain Ski Resort. I think over 85 volunteers signed up to come over to Fox River Park this weekend to help with the restoration of our overnight lodge and multiple projects throughout the park. So we'll be working alongside a lot of their ski resort workers and volunteers on that epic promise day, as they call it. And then we also, over at Pringle Nature Center, they host their annual Fall Fun Fest and International Migratory Bird Tour Day. So that's always a good one for the families as well, too. So we'll be at all 3 of them, and hope you guys can join us for those. And a couple other events is the Pets Beer Garden also is hosting the Oktoberfest, and then the County Exec Fall Wheel Ride is happening right at the end of the month. Again, Pringle Nature Center, you can see their attached reports. And a couple other things that were not on the list, but all good, is I'll give a handout that wasn't included in the paper, but if you read Saturday's paper, probably saw that the county was awarded $500,000 grant to start our Pike River restoration project. So this has been in the works since John Rudy has been here, that we've been working through grants in order to get concepts, designs, engineers going so we can apply for this bulk of a grant. But now the EPA has finally awarded us $500,000 to get that phase one on the northern section of Petrified Springs Park underway. So we're looking at construction actually happening starting June of next year. But I feel optimistic that once you get one grant, other ones will follow. So it's gonna really not only beautify the park and really open up that riverbed for people to really appreciate, but truly the impact of that erosion was getting pretty substantial. We need a way to control that erosion from having further impact, especially with our county assets, like pavilions or anything else. So this is going to be really positive, not only for the health and the quality and the sustainability of the river, but also our county assets. So that's huge and great news. And then last thing I have to pass out was our quarterly newsletter. So don't know if you guys received that, but figured I'd print them out and pass them along to you. You guys probably know about a lot of that information already, but something that we provide for the general public. We have about over 3,000 people on our email list to put this online as well. Yep, and there's Ellie won, I think, six or seven years in a row now, so she's finally 10. So, yeah, she's retiring this year. Someone else can have a trophy. And that is all I have.
Any questions for Matt?
Yes,
Supervisor. Just a couple questions. I'm looking at this map for the Pike River restoration. And if you're at the top of the hill on County A, you're going to proceed westward down the bottom of the hill. Just before you get to Green Bay Road on the north side, there's an area that's all kind of fenced off and has some construction markers and so forth. On the north side of A, is that this detail here? Is that where we're at here?
That actually might be
Clemens project. It's the Pike River Trail.
So, yep. So that's actually going to be two quality projects. So Clemens and the highway guys are going to get done with a boardwalk. That's going to go, if you know where that north trail splits on County Highway A, and then you're going to have the boardwalk going towards the Pike River.
Okay.
So that's maybe markers for, and we also did a wetland delineation. It was part of our project too. So you might see markers from wetland delineation or Clemens project site.
Okay.
So those two
are things. Right in that same general area. Now, the last question I have is, Dennis, you know, probably the better than anyone. Many times I've been to KD Park, I have not really paid attention to the whole invasive species situation. I'm sure that some of this Savannah will take it into consideration. Is that a very big thing out there? Is that really heavily compromised by invasive species?
We just did a big spraying of the whole park. And the most invasive was after the breakaway. And one morning when I was driving in the helicopter, which was flying over my head, and they used our park as a base. They sprayed New Munster Wildlife Refuge for the state. They sprayed ours, and they sprayed Vaughn that day. So Greg Mighty's we attacked a few years back, and we've attacked it each year, but now this was an aerial helicopter spray. So, That is part of these other projects, is that has to be done before you start spending money on the Savannah and the
Dam. What about some of these other ones? Goose Drive, Buckthorn?
That's in the wooded area. That isn't part of this, like the Savannah and the Prairie restoration at all.
We don't have Goose Drive along the lake too much, Purple Goose Drive?
No.
Good. That's
great. Okay. And Frank, I don't know. We used to have 22 acres, they told me.
I did some fact-checking and research on what they controlled around the lake's edge. And Nick Burke said it was well over 5 acres that they controlled. So it wasn't the original one that I understood. So it was well over what you assume 5 acres and 30. No, this was a previous. This was an original. Because I guess before I got here, that was an abundance of around the lake's edge in those low-lying wet areas that they had to bring in different equipment to spray, to control, to cut down all the frayed whiteys.
Right.
So that took, I don't know how many years in order to get to even this point around the lake's edge.
So I think it was that original 5, and then there was another 5 last week with the helicopter,
correct.
Right?
So that's total 10.
So there's 10, and if there was, it was like 22.
Now it's a paved road, but when you drive in on the paved road to your west was a good, huge prairie on it. And it went all the way to the woods. Mm-hmm. That maybe is where I'm saying. I know at one time we had 22 acres. That was the.
And that's where we did spray this last time.
Right.
That was our high concentration.
Right.
That's going to be phase 2 of prairie restoration. Is we first have to, like you said, control the frayed whiteys in there. So that'll probably be a 3-year project.
Well, people think it's pretty.
I know. Yeah.
So you get lost in it.
Right. It kills everything else. It just takes over.
It actually gets 8-9 times people.
Absolutely.
And that stretch, when I used to walk my dog out there every night, that stretch there was big enough that you could get screwed around in there. Mm-hmm. You have an animal in there, because I mean, it was horrible. Just horrible.
And I know we have an abundance of cattails, too, and there's two species of cattails. One's more invasive, one's natural. But either way, we'll have to control those two.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. And this, and there's the helicopter right here. I'll pass that around. This Green Space newsletter, I just love it. It's so nice to have something like this. You know, I mean, we didn't have something like this for years. So. And especially when you have that many people that appreciate it. So, well, thank you, and we'll move on to golf. Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next big initiative will be tomorrow, the Kenosha County Executive Cup. As of this printing, we had 116 people, but we signed up 28 more since then. So we're going to have a full field of 144. I want to thank Jim Kupfer for all of his help with fundraising and getting donations. And you know, we're going to have a lot of prizes, and we got lunch and dinner and 18 holes with carts. And we're going to have a great time tomorrow. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I think last year we raised over $15,000, so hopefully we'll continue to do that. And that all goes, we have our junior programs with over 150 kids this year. So that's going to go to help support that. And we each give all the kids a welcome gift. And that helps with the support of that and making the golf course better. And we got our new FlightScope launch monitor. And that they really helps in their learning and helps the teaching. So really a great day tomorrow. So then the junior clinics wrapped up for the season. We hosted the final tournament of the parent-child, which was a great day. We had 72 participants and so many people with smiles on their faces and saying how good a time that they had, and that they will bring more golfers next year for us. So we're just growing the game and really hopefully sustainability of the golf courses for the long run. And then the PGA Tour, our junior tour league wrapped up, and unfortunately Brightondale for the first time in like 5 years didn't do quite as well and win this Strawberry Creek won it this year. And so congratulations to them, and now they're on to the regionals. So our Caddy and Leadership Academy also wrapped up in August. We had about 18 caddies, and we were pretty happy with the results. We definitely have a cart culture at our golf courses, and so it's a little bit more difficult to get the caddies out there because people want to ride. But we're thinking about different ways of doing that. And for next year, also the big flood didn't help us with getting the caddies on the golf courses. So we're making some adjustments, hopefully, for next year. And that's going to be a success from there. We did have our wrap-up party on Sunday, September 3rd, for the Caddy Academy. And we had 45 people attend. And all the young people that, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, you know, just to see how much they've grown over the summer, you know, to be shy and not even want to look people in the eye, to get up and actually talk to the crowd and be able to tell what was best about the Caddy Academy and actually, you know, being able to address people and look them in the eye and say how their leadership has helped them and how they are advanced, you know, was really cool to hear from everybody there. So that's basically most of what's going on in golf. A couple of projects that we're working on. The conditions of our golf courses are at Petrifying Springs, I've never ever seen it so good. I mean, you know, you look at the conditions of the grounds around the clubhouse and the golf course itself, and you know, it's outstanding. And Brightondale's getting better after the flood. I mean, we had quite a few acres that went down with that flooding, and We had it all slit seeded, and so the grass is starting to come back, but it's definitely taken some time to get that going. The blue course is in better shape than the white, mostly around the white 1, 6, and 17 were our major flooding areas, and so it's starting to come back, but it's taken a little while. So we had at Petrifying Springs some damage, but we seeded that and had straw mats on it, and those have all been pulled, and it's really coming back very nicely. We put up 18 new T-signs with posts at Petrifying Springs, so those were all deteriorating. We're planning on doing that at Brightondale next year. Probably not all 45, but hopefully we'll get in about half of them. And maybe 27 holes we'll try and do next year, because all the T-signs are deteriorating. And then we finally completed the project of removing 9 bunkers at Brightondale, and it's growing in very nicely. They haven't been allowed to car traffic or anything yet on those areas, but very impressed with the way that they look, and very happy that there's still going to be plane features. It's not just going to be flat ground. It's going to be depressions. It's going to be, you know, things that you have to think about when you're actually making your stroke if you hit it in there. So it's going to be so much less expensive to maintain, but it's still going to challenge the player. So it's great to have those 9 bunkers removed, and we're getting the area behind the clubhouse paved. Cicchini Paving is actually going to be doing that project for us. They're taking out all the asphalt where we staged the carts, and in between the clubhouse and the 9th and 18th green, and up to the first tee, and we're going to have some new asphalt poured there, so looking forward to that. There's quite a few cracks and things, and it was becoming very much a trip hazard for our older clientele over there, so we're happy about getting that done. And we contacted them again today, and they said, well, we'll give you 2 days notice, so that's about all we're getting out of when that's going to take place, but we hope it's sooner rather than later. All the fairways on the golf courses, both golf courses, all 63 holes have been fertilized, so that'll give it a nice pop. And we've already started our aerification schedule. The red greens at Brightondale were already done, and we're hoping that they'll recover quickly enough. So on the 18th of September, I believe we're going to do, don't hold it to me, it's either the white or the blue, sorry about that. And then on October 3rd, we're going to do the other course. And on September 25th, we're going to do Petrifying Springs. So we're just trying to relieve the compaction on all the greens, just making sure that they have the best soils for growing the turf. And so it's a necessary evil, but we will be aerating all 63 holes. And then I can't commend Tom Odell and Rich Heinisch enough for their verticutting and top dressing program at Brightondale. They really have made the greens very nice. You know, I mean, we've had the flooding areas that weren't so nice, but as soon as you get on the greens, they're rolling very nice. They're very consistent, and to get 46 greens that with 3 different construction styles to roll, you know, the same is very challenging. And by doing this verticutting and top dressing program, they're able to get those greens to roll consistently. So congratulations to them.
Any questions for Dan? Keep it up, Dan. Keep them open until Christmas.
Yeah. And we did it a couple of years ago. Last year was early December.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All righty. We'll move on to my friend.
Updating on 2 ongoing projects. The county center fire alarm system replacement has been going on for a while. It's dragging on a little bit because of the electrical contractor. Not the same one that Frank's project is using. Originally they wanted to, but he drug his feet so much I might find another one. So found another one, but it still continues on with them. So kind of the same contractor problems we've been seeing all along. I'm told it'll be done Tuesday, but I'm giving them to the end of the week because it's always been going that way. Hopefully it's wrapped up. Second project is the Molinaro boiler replacement. That was bid out on the 3rd of August. The low bid came in at $52,950. It was awarded to Just Service. They came in and started working on the project, did the demo phase on 8/29, and now they're just waiting for everything to come in order-wise. And they assume by the time that gets in, it'll be completed about October 20th, just in time for heating season. So we're cutting it close, but we should make it. Anything on those?
Yeah, what do they do when they're doing a big boiler replacement like that?
Well, they're not real big ones. They're just small package hot water ones. There's two of them.
So they can keep the existing heat running until they...
Well, the building stays pretty warm all by itself, you know, right now.
Right.
We usually have the boilers turned off until probably, just depends on the season, about mid-October.
Okay.
Holds its heat pretty good. Difference with this project, we had a separate hot water heater, and just like the KCAB project last year, we folded that right into the boilers so we could eliminate one system. And that's what's taken a little bit longer for the parts.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a good project. It turns out as good as KCAB, it'll be very successful. Other project lists for Focus on Energy, just a couple things to update. There's really two projects that are ongoing there. I think you got the list. You can see what's in red. The Molinaro boiler replacement project is on there, marked as ongoing, and then it's got the start and end date. Second one below that is KCDC upgrade exterior lighting, a project that we're hoping to do next year, and I just changed the date to the end of next year because we're hoping to get that in the budget. The LED exterior lighting project for this facility is ongoing right now. We have our in-house electrician installing those fixtures. You can actually see them if you look behind you. Those are LEDs, and you can just tell by the glow. He's about halfway through on that right now, and it's one that we timed to wrap up by the end of the season so we can get it done before it gets cold. Looks like it'll get done by the end of September. And, yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'm going to go over the two resolutions first. The first one, both these are easement resolutions. As you saw, probably when you read through these, but I'll give you a little background on the first one. It's in the Camp Lake Oaks subdivision, just off Highway C. We've got a couple county-owned lots in there. And because there's actually now finally some development occurring of some of these older, were less desirable lots, We Energy is needing to upgrade the electrical service to that subdivision. And the ideal place for them to put an upgraded piece of equipment required for the upgrade, I should say, is on one of our county-owned lots. So we took a look, Andy from Planning and Development, to determine if where they wanted to put it was the most ideal, because we want to sell those lots that we own there eventually. And because We Energy already has a pole in this location, the green box is basically going to go right next to that green pole. So that's basically what this is, to give them an easement to do that, to put that other piece of equipment in to upgrade the electrical infrastructure in that subdivision, in that section of it. Hopefully it'll make the lots more marketable, because those are definitely a couple of lots that, and I think there's more than a couple, but there's two I know of that are associated with this. So that's basically what it is. It's an easement so We Energies can do that electrical upgrade in that subdivision, and it happens to be on our property.
Any questions? If not, we get a motion on that.
So moved.
Move by Supervisor Franco to approve the easement.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Gilmore. Do the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we have another easement.
Yep, and the other easement is for the building out, the storage, sheriff's storage building out at the detention center. We don't need to do anything to the gas. The gas that was supplied to that building, the service was adequate enough that we can tap off of it for the minimal heat we're going to need in that building. So we don't need to do anything with the gas. For the electrical service to the building, we will need to grant an easement to We Energy so we can get the appropriate electrical service in for that building, and that's what this easement is for, giving that easement.
So move by Supervisor O'Day.
Second.
Move by Supervisor Gray. Any discussion of that through the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Those will come
move on to the Brookside project update. Reconstruction activity continues in all areas of the original building. Since Labor Day, it was amazing. Literally, the Tuesday after, the number of trades guys' cars in Brookside's parking lot probably tripled. Because all those school projects end pretty much the day before Labor Day, and those trades guys are dispersed, so they're really, really hitting it hard. So we are at this point projecting a completion date of around mid-March next year. I'm saying mid-March to April 1st, probably worst case scenario, is what we're projecting at this point. We'll see how that goes, because if, from what I saw last week, there's probably the potential for that to move up if that many tradespeople are available. Because I was kind of blown away. There wasn't a place to park on the east side of the building where there are no customers parking. It's strictly guys working on the project. So there's a lot of work taking place. The 300 wing, which is the wing that connects the new building with the old, is where the rehab, the actual gym is going to be. That is pretty much completely drywalled. I mean, it looks like they were finishing taping, and I don't know if they're going to start taping. I'll find out Wednesday is when our progress meeting is, but that part of the building is really moving along quickly, and all of the other areas are now being framed out really aggressively. We've worked through any of the kind of structural issues that we've had to deal with for all kinds of shear walls and rooftop unit stuff. We've worked through all that stuff, so everything's pretty much cleared for them to just work on it. Let's see. Brookside actually has already started the planning process for transitioning residents using that kind of March as our target at this point. It's going to be more complicated than what we did when we moved everybody into the basically everybody out of the old building into the new building, which was still a pretty interesting event. But this one's going to have to occur in stages based on patient populations, where they're at in the new building, and where they have to end up at in the existing building. It's going to be interesting, but we've already started the planning process for that. So that's pretty much where that whole thing is at. Department report, we've identified some other potential sources of limited potential, I keep using the word potential, state aid for flood damage and remediation, because at the last meeting we told you, you know, the FEMA money was a no-go, and there were some other monies that were no-go, and I'm going to let Jim give just a brief overview of kind of, there was a couple other rocks we looked under and potentially.
Yeah, we basically looked five different places for money. First was insurance for the golf course. We talked about that last time. I know some people made some comments. We went back and redoubled our efforts, checked again. Our policies don't cover that, so we can't get any insurance money there. The first thing we looked at, and I don't know if you guys know Mike Bond, he's the finance manager for the Public Works Division. He's done a lot of work on this. And the first thing we looked at was there was a federal aid program, which our type of disasters didn't qualify for. They weren't the right types of projects, so we couldn't get that highway aid. Then we went to FEMA. That was, we had, I don't know, close to $650,000. Our FEMA added to Racine's FEMA, added to Waller's FEMA, didn't add up to enough. So we couldn't get that money. So then we went to a special state program. I think WISDOT's been very helpful. They came to us and said, well, you might want to try this program. So we came up with about $100,000 that we submitted for certain types of projects, and we think we'll get 75% of that. So that one's in the works. We already filed that, so we might get $75,000 there. Then there was another program that the Wisconsin State, Ben Wiseman, is that his name?
Works for them.
State Emergency Management. So we're putting together some information there that we might be able to get some money back for highways. That would be $150,000, and we can get potentially 70% of it.
70%.
So we haven't filed that yet. We're just putting the final touches on it, so we might get that money back. So hopefully we can get back $150,000 when this thing's all said and done. It's been a lot of time. And what we've done here in our department is
mostly work on the highway stuff. There's a whole nother department where people like Andy Bueller from Planning Development, they're working on more the individual cases where if either businesses or individuals lost their houses or their businesses, that's a whole different type of funding. What we're talking about here is basically just highways. So it's, we're not, we haven't given up yet, and hopefully somebody turns over another rock and we'll see what happens. It's an ongoing process.
So that's that. Detention center storage building finally got all the permit issues resolved. Did start actual site work on the 15th of August. The footings are actually poured at this stage. Plan to start foundation walls, which come up a little bit. Actually, they're more than foundation walls. They come up about 5 feet out of the ground. And then structural steel. The wall should be started this week, the masonry associated with that. And structural steel, hopefully, will start next week. So once that happens, it'll actually start to look like something's actually taking place out there. We're attempting to improve the schedule and complete the building by late November. We really wanted to time out when Frank's, the FMB building, is done. That's like late November now. If this building's late November, then everything that's done in the existing fleet maintenance area in the public safety building, the maintenance functions and the vehicle evidence functions, both those can go to their respective new buildings at the same time, and then we can vacate that area so that that can be demoed, and that's where the medical examiner is going to go. So that's the plan right now, and it looks like with a little luck we'll be able to manage and make that happen. The Corporation Council wanted me to make mention that he wasn't certain if this particular thing came to the Public Works Committee when it happened a few years ago. But the Heritage House, the city or the county held a pretty substantial, over $100,000 worth of back taxes on that. And part of the deal with the city when they did find somebody to sell it to, which Gorman, the developer, is in the process of rehabbing that right now, we were supposed to get paid back our back tax money, which was, he confirmed that just last week we got the check, the second payment for that. So we've been paid a total of about $120,000. For that building. He just wanted me to share that as kind of an FYI, tie up an old loose end. 2018 budget development activity remains high. We've presented to the county board by the county executive on the 3rd, and we've already set up our meeting for the 9th, and I think those are pretty much the things I was going to hit. Unless anybody's got any questions.
Any questions for Ray? If not, we could have a motion with him.
So moved.
Second. All in favor of the agreement?
Aye.
Thank you everyone for being here.